And with that, we're going to move to folks that are here to speak in opposition, and we're going to switch to Zoom. We have Lakota Sanborn, then Jacqueline Elliott, and then John Banks. Welcome, Lakota Sanborn. We're ready whenever you are.
Hello, honorable members of the committee. My name is Lakota Sanborn. I'm a Penobscot community organizer from Indian Island. I am testifying against LD 718. The health of the Penobscot River has come a long way in recent decades. However, there are still a number of toxic pollutants and ongoing environmental damages that are continuing to negatively impact the river, the health of the river, and the people who live within its watershed. Completely contrary to what Representative Sobolewski stated about JRL's leachate disposal process posing no risk to Penobscot Nation or surrounding communities, this leachate has tested positive for neurotoxins and carcinogens, as well as unsafe amounts of the forever chemicals known as PFAS and PFOAs. This leachate is treated at ND Paper in Old Town, a facility not specializing in leachate treatment, and then it is pumped directly into the Penobscot River. I am uncertain as to whether this process is continuing, given the closing of ND Paper and not getting a clear response from Jeff Pelletier at Juniper Ridge about whether it was continuing at this location. The out-of-state construction debris often contains hazardous chemicals, toxins, and carcinogens, and if other states like Massachusetts, where the bulk of this waste comes from, have banned the disposal of the waste and debris, why should the people of Maine inherit the burden and allow it to poison our land, rivers, and communities? Casella is a multi-billion dollar company. It is their responsibility to make sure that waste treatment is effective, safe, progressively developed, and innovated to seek alternative methods that act to protect our environment. Casella must collaborate with DEP and other agencies to seek alternatives to be in line with state law. It's dishonest for Casella to argue that we need to repeal LD 1639 because they need this specific debris to stabilize sludge. Why exactly are they convinced that out-of-state waste is the only possible solution to stabilize sludge when other landfill operators across the country deplore a wide variety of methods to combat this issue? This appears a non-argument which seeks to undermine and take us backwards amid ongoing damage to our environment. It is critically important that as we push to address climate change and ongoing pollution and toxification of our waterways, that we as the Maine people and you who are elected to represent us make it clear that we will not kick the can down the road for 2 years, revert or reverse progress that has been made just a year prior that we have yet to see the measurable effects of. We must continue to build and find creative ways to innovate and lessen the impacts of climate change. Casella must be held accountable and responsible for exploiting the loophole that led to this crisis, and work with DEP and other agencies to find alternatives and stop holding our communities under their boot heel. I urge you to vote ought not to pass for LD 718. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Are there any questions from committee members? Lakota Sanborn, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Representative Sobolewski has a question.
Thank you very much, Chair, Madam Chair. Sir, where exactly in relationship to Juniper Ridge Landfill was the testing done that you said is positive?
The testing was done by Juniper Ridge.
Was done by Juniper Ridge that said that their leachate is going out into the community?
What? No. Yeah. The leachate from Juniper Ridge is taken from their facility and then it is treated at ND Paper in Old Town, which has never been outfitted with the proper facility to treat leachate, and then that leachate is then dumped into the river from that site.
No, I understand. What I was referring to was the immediate area around Juniper Ridge when I was talking. So I understand.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Right. Yep. No. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions from committee members? Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
And next up is Jacqueline Elliott.
Can you hear me?
We can.
I'm sorry about the video component. It doesn't seem as though I can. All right, I've got a prompt. Okay,
oh, there we go.
Here we go. Technology is working. Thank you. My name is Jacqueline Elliott. I live in Waterboro. Thank you, Senator Brenner, Representative Gramlich, and honorable committee members for allowing me to speak with you today. I am in opposition to LD 718 as amended. I have submitted written testimony as well, and I do hope you'll take the time to read it as it is footnoted with information that you might find important to what is before you today. I appreciate the committee's creativity in trying to address what is before you And I appreciate also our wastewater treatment people. It seems like everybody's scrambling here, but perhaps Casella. I want to begin my comments with complete honesty and respectfully, but I have to admit this legislation makes me very angry. And I am here to assert the rights of Maine citizens most impacted by the operations of Juniper Ridge, citizens living with the nightmare of JRL's operations and suffering the harmful environment and health impacts of imported waste. And they are here beseeching the committee to stand by the provisions of LD 1639. Rollbacks of LD 1639 are untenable. You have heard from many today already why this should not be expedient to legislate. Casella argues that the provisions of LD 1639 should be delayed and in effect overturned. They are reneging on the provisions that forestall JRL's disposal capacity being consumed by imported waste. The crisis that they have created recently around sludge disposal is the basis of their argument, but their arguments are unconvincing. Instead, Casella should be committed to employ the best standards of practice to manage sludge at JRL and to provide for the safety of their employees and conserve disposal capacity for Maine-generated waste. If Casella remains unwilling to meet the requirements of LD 1639, then perhaps it is time for the state to reconsider its operations at JRL. And this is something that is also provided for in LD 1639. Maine people expect the legislators and the governor to uphold their obligation to protect the rights of those they represent. And you have done that with LD 1639. There is no rollback on LD 69 from where the citizens sit. So we're asking respectfully that you would vote ought not to pass on this legislation and continue to employ the creativity that is being discussed today to move forward with the provisions of LD 1639. And I thank you for your time. And if you have any questions, I would be happy to try to answer them. Thank you.
Thanks so much for making time for us to share your remarks today. Any questions from committee members? No, I'm not seeing any. Thank you.
Thank you.
And next up is John Banks. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, good afternoon, Senator Brennan and Representative Gramlich and members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. My name is John Banks. I'm a citizen of the Penobscot Indian Nation, and I'm the tribe's recently retired Natural Resources Director. I had run the Natural Resources Department from 1980, just prior to the 1980 land claims case, until I retired about a year and a half ago. And in my tenure with the tribe, one of the most important environmental justice issues that our tribe has dealt with is the Juniper Ridge landfill and its impacts to the local ecology. As Lakota Sanborn very eloquently stated, there are many ongoing impacts to the tribe now from the operation of the landfill. There's the ongoing leachate and the discharges of the inadequately treated leachate that is discharged into the river in the vicinity of the reservation at Old Town. There are bald eagles and other wildlife that are important to the tribe that we observe feeding at the landfill. And you know, this issue of out-of-state waste goes back to the very beginning when the state was talked into taking over this landfill back in 2003 or 2004. That question of out-of-state waste going to the landfill was was raised at the first public meeting in Old Town. And the state of Maine deliberately stated that there would be no out-of-state waste coming to this landfill, and that actually one of the reasons that they wanted to acquire this landfill on behalf of the citizens of the state would be to prevent out-of-state waste from coming in. So it's really very troubling for me to be coming back to this issue that's been going on for so long after the progress that was made in the last legislative session. That LD 1639 was a step very much in the right direction. And I'm opposed to any kind of rollbacks of that, which I believe LD 718 does. In regards to this sludge crisis, the question that comes to my mind is, who bears the cost? Is it the future generations? Is it the people of the state of Maine? Is it the people in the region that have to deal with this growing pile of poisons? Or is it the corporation that created the crisis? I think the answer to that question would have to be the latter. And also, to me, I just can't understand.
Mr. Banks, can you summarize?
Sure. Just one more comment. Wanted to say that I really don't understand why it would be so difficult to come up with 25,000 tons of in-state bulking material to help solve this problem. Thank you very much for the chance to speak with you today. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Any questions from committee members? Representative Sobolewski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sir, you said leachate discharge into the river. Could you tell me exactly where that's happening?
Yeah, that happens at the Nine Dragons outfall presently. And as Lakota Sanborn stated, we have a question as to if that's going to continue since the Nine Dragons plant has shut down.
Thank you. Follow up. Mm-hmm. Does the Penobscot Nation, do you guys have sludge, and what do you do with that?
We have sludge, and I assume that it goes to Juniper Ridge like the rest of the sludge from the region.
Thank you.
Senator Carney.
Thank you, Chair Brenner, and thank you, John Banks, for your testimony today. Your description of the discharge into the Penobscot River reminded me that there is an excellent video that really graphically portrays the problem. Can you remind us of the name of that video and where we could find it?
Well, I believe the video you're speaking to, Senator, is produced by it's called the Sunlight Media Cooperative. And I think if you go to that website, you should be able to access the video. I forget what the precise name of that video is, but it certainly has to do with Juniper Ridge and the leachate and the discharges of PFAS-contaminated leachate into the Penobscot River.
Thank you for that information.
Representative Gramlich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hello, Mr. Banks. It's nice to see you again. It's Representative Gramlich here. I really appreciate your rich history in your service to the Penobscot Nation and to the state of Maine. I'm curious if you could I want to make sure I heard you correctly, that when the negotiations occurred initially for the state to enter into a contract for the landfill, that there was some sort of a conversation that occurred that there would be no out-of-state waste coming to the landfill. Can you just help me better understand that? And when that occurred, what was that conversation and with whom?
Yeah, there was a public meeting. It wasn't a formal public hearing or anything. It was just an informational meeting in Old Town at the Elks Club. And it was to inform the local citizens of the plan for the state to take over the landfill, the Juniper Ridge landfill. And I do remember that meeting. I think I was one of the first speakers there, and it was the commissioner of DEP that was the state representative that was kind of running the meeting. And she was asked if there would be out-of-state waste, you know, being landfilled here. And she said no, that there was no, they were not going to landfill out-of-state waste at this facility.
Thank you, sir. Representative Sobolewski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the issue of the back to the issue of the PFAS going in the water, that's a Nine Dragons issue. Did you speak with them, and what did they have to say about that?
This came about after I retired, sir. And so it would have been other staffers within the Penobscot Nation Natural Resources Department that would have followed
Thank
up.
Thank you, sir.
And I would suspect that they did.
Thank you.
Representative Campbell.
Thank you, Senator. And thank you for your service. You seem well versed in this. We've been hearing about different volumes of our waste that goes out of state. And we also understand the bill where we're preventing out of state waste from coming in. Do you know what those volumes are, and what will happen if both other states and countries stop taking our waste?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, Senator. I haven't really delved deeply into it lately. Yeah,
you just happened to be up when I thought of the question. Sorry.
I don't have the answer.
Keep track of your questions. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Anyone here in the room to speak in opposition?
Greetings, Chairwoman Brenner and Gramlich, and distinguished members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee of the great state of Maine. I'm here to speak against LD 718. My name is Ed Spencer, and I live in West Old Town, less than 2 miles from the state-owned Juniper Ridge landfill. I'm co-chair of Don't Waste Maine, a citizen group that advocates for responsible and accountable waste policies and practices. I am a proud co-author of the legislation that became LD 1639, which last year passed overwhelmingly in the House and unanimously in the Senate. In 2003, when Juniper Ridge was becoming the first operational state-owned landfill in Maine, we were promised by state, local, and Casella officials that there would be no out-of-state waste permitted. Through a series of engineered crises and the waste industry being allowed to write their own rules, JRL has become a dumping ground for millions of tons of other states' discards and assorted toxic crap. The first crisis was based on the promise that Casella would furnish the Old Town Mill with cheap fuel for their biomass boiler and save the mill jobs. Casella's fuel was in violation of state standards for 16 of the 31 samples taken. Instead of saving the mill, burning Casella's fuel resulted in the creation of hazardous waste, which rests forever in Juniper Ridge, even though that waste type is banned. But Casella got permission to import enough construction and demolition debris and put the remainders into the state landfill. The floodgates were opened. The current sludge crisis blames last year's LD 1911 for forcing the landfilling of sewage and industrial sludges that Casella formerly spread all over Maine's agricultural land. In addition, they claim that LD 1639 forced them to alter operations at Juniper Ridge in such a way that it resulted in an impromptu refusal to landfill sludge due to an instability emergency on February 23rd, 2023. Let's think of the absurdity of what Casella is saying. They claim that they cannot keep our state landfill stable, and safe without importing oversized bulky waste from Massachusetts and other states. They are saying it is impossible for them to operate Juniper Ridge, which is supposed to be reserved for true Maine waste, without importing old couches and worn out appliances. What's more, Casella's own study shows that much of this OBW has the highest PFAS concentrations of any waste stream sampled, far more toxic than the wastewater treatment plant sludge. So in summary, please reject LD 718. And if Casella cannot operate Juniper Ridge safely without imports, their license to operate Juniper Ridge should be evaluated. Thank you. Be happy to answer any questions while I sign in.
Thanks for joining us. Any questions from committee members? Senator Carney.
Thank you. I wanted to give you a chance to finish signing in. Thank you for providing testimony today. And I want to thank you for the tremendous amount of work that you put into LD 1639. You worked on it for a very long time. And I would just ask you to really honestly tell us what you think about the suggestion of a limited time frame of a limited amount of OBW and CDD going into Juniper Ridge. And, you know, I know it kind of breaks my heart to suggest that, or did this morning, right, particularly in light of the fact that that material is highly contaminated with PFAS. And I just wanted to give you a chance to let us know sincerely how you feel about that.
For starters, I hate to keep compromising, you know, but if there's no other way forward than to allow some short-term exceptions, you're going to do what you feel like you have to do. But I think it's an engineered crisis. I don't, you know, and I think for your work session, you want to, you know, have a real report on what the emergency was and take a hard look at that study from Vermont, which rates, you know, analyze how much PFAS is in. Bringing in more, it just seems kind of anathema to what we're trying to do. But I guess, practically speaking, I mean, if you're going up the road and, you know, 70 miles an hour, legal, safe, everything, and detour, you take it. You don't go around the barriers and keep going. But I don't know. I'll have to think about it more. If I was in your shoes, I don't know what I'd do. But I think it's valuable to have a starting point, and perhaps I just think, like, it's spring cleanup time now all across Maine. I mean, I got stuff they can have, you know what I mean? And everybody does, be honest, you know? So I don't think we need to haul it in, you know, but I understand the fix that the wastewater treatment plant operators have been put in. And to me, that's unconscionable, you know, for any company with contracts in Maine.
Thank you. And if you could just share any thoughts you have as you think through that suggestion,
oh, I'm sure
we'd appreciate it.
I'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else here to speak in opposition? No. This will be our last opposition, and then we'll flip back to supporters.
Senator Brenner, Representative Gramlich, distinguished members of the committee. My name is Bill Lippincott. I'm speaking in opposition to 718. I'm the co-chair of Don't Waste Maine. I'm also speaking to you as a resident of Hamden, the site of the closed, still leaking Pine Tree landfill. I've watched how Casella has managed and filled that landfill up, and I see the same behavior at work with how they're operating Juniper Ridge. There's a pattern to Casella's landfill practices to take in as much waste as they possibly can, as fast as they possibly can, shaping state law and rules in their interests to do so. And that's what's also going on with LD 718. I just want to share my experience with pine tree. It was supposed to last, they estimated, 23 years. They filled it in about 10 years. And the way they did that, they owned the Merck incinerator. And they routinely, after a rule change, they routinely had trucks bring in waste from Massachusetts, way more than that incinerator could process. And because of that rule change, they brought it up to the Hamden landfill. And that is why it filled up so fast. That's why they did not get a public benefit approval. That's why we have Juniper Ridge, which was started so that we could prevent, as a state-owned landfill, we could take state-only waste. But in the original wording of that landfill, again, there was language very effectively created so that there was a loophole so that you could have waste coming in from Massachusetts, stopping it, in this case, KTI, that became Re-Energy, now Resource, minimal processing, and then come to Juniper Ridge. And that is how we have about, had until recently, until this law, about 200,000 tons a year coming into Juniper Ridge. Our law put a stop to that. And coincidentally, in February, when this law is going into effect, all of a sudden there is a crisis. And I want to refer to you on Representative O'Neill's question at a hearing when they asked, did they have an engineer come in to assess the stability? And Casella has CV and Mahar, they're in Cumberland. That's just a few hours drive on I-95. Why didn't they have their engineers come in that day and make an evaluation of the stability? And their reply was, it would have taken too much time, 10 days or more, to get an engineer. I do not trust what I'm hearing from them. I'm not getting the whole picture. There are alternatives to oversized bulky waste, which is loaded with PFAS, by the way, fire retardant sofas, mattresses. And in terms of Senator Carney's suggestion, I would think that we could find 25,000 tons of Maine material that could stabilize the amount of waste that is needed for sludge. Thank you.
Any questions from committee members? Thanks for joining us. Whoops, wait, there's one.
Thank you for your testimony. So I'm thinking the same thing you are. I just need more information before we decide to roll back this law. And I think Casella needs to be accountable for demonstrating why prices have been raised and the landfill stability situation. So I'm wondering if now or between now and the work session, you'd like to make some suggestions about how we can facilitate that investigation and get more information. I have also had trouble with the requests that we've made getting enough info. I don't know if we have to, you know, take it to the next level and do a brief investigation in another committee. But if we can't get the information we need, we're going to have to figure out how to do this so that we can get the info and make the right decisions here. So my request for you is between now and the work session to help with your input there. And I'd if you had happy. Anything to say now.
Sure. Be happy to do that. I just want to mention, I did not address the whole issue of landfill capacity and the alternatives to Juniper Ridge, Dolby, and Carpenter Ridge. They're not good alternatives. They're incredibly expensive. So we really do not want to squander our state-owned capacity because there are no good alternatives. But thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.